So we're really excited today to have this podcast coming live from COP28 in Dubai in December 2023. So I'm going to ask our speakers to introduce themselves and tell us, you know, what has brought you to COP. Rachel.
Hi, I'm Rachel. I'm with Ricardo Energy and Environment, but on secondment to the Department for Energy Security and Net Zero. And I'm here to present some research that our program has been working on, Climate Services for Net Zero World, in the hopes that that can help form the evidence base for the action that we also desperately need to take.
Thank you, Rachel. Let's then go to Graham.
Hi, Miriam. Hi, everyone. It's Graham Aidman from Department of Energy Security and Net Zero UK Government. And my main role here has really been to support the launch of the Global Cooling Pledge, which was launched on the 5th of the in an evening by the UAE government, and the UK minister supported this as well alongside 65 countries. And I'm here to support that. And
thanks very much. And then we've got Katerina.
Hi, Miriam. So I'm Katerina Marquez from London South Bank University, and I also a member of the IOR Board of Trustees. So very happy to be here at COP28. It's such an exciting event. So basically, I'm presenting a lot of the results from our transport, industrial and commercial refrigeration project. I just did a double act presentation with Rachel. So we were presenting the emissions from cooling, and it was a great event. But we had a lot more sessions at COP. We had a day on gender, we had a day on youth and education and skills. So yeah, a lot going on.
Thanks very much. It sounds as though there's a lot of UK presence there and a lot of UK initiatives going on. Do you feel that there's being really a strong UK presence there? Because we hear a lot in the news here about whether or not the UK is really leading on climate change. How do you feel the UK is represented there?
Yeah, so we've just heard a minister give a summary of UK achievements at COP, and I think we're the most advanced country in terms of cutting our emissions. We've halved our emissions over a very short period of time. We've got a good plan to net zero. We're also involved in championing a number of critical initiatives. There's a global pledge on energy efficiency. There's a phase out of coal, which we're leading on. In fact, our minister is deputy chair of that. And the exciting thing is this year, a number of countries have joined, including the US, an initiative that effectively the UK leads. And of course, the Global Cooling Pledge, which brings us here. The UK have been a key partner in the development of this. We were on the high level working group, and our minister spoke about the importance of cooling and the work that we're doing nationally, but also internationally to help others decarbonise cooling. So, I think we're very, very central to this COP, and we're doing an amazing amount.
And so for the Institute of Refrigeration, you know, our members are interested in what was being termed the cool COPs. What is the UK doing around cooling? I mean, and you mentioned a couple of presentations already. Rachel, did you want to come in and tell us a little bit more about what you're doing?
Yeah, so we were looking at, and I'll ask Kat to jump in as well, because she was involved in this research also, but we're doing some research looking at emissions from cooling across a range of residential, commercial, industrial, transport, etc., to really understand what the UK's emissions from cooling are, which is really a necessary first step for us to understand to what sort of actions we need to take, what our emissions are likely to look like in the future in a changing climate, alongside efforts to decarbonize. How is all of that going to play out? So it's really laying the groundwork for us to be able to take informed action, informed decisions. You know, Kat, did you want to add anything further on that?
So I can probably add what our study shows, both the TICA project and CS Now, is that we know that cooling is 4% of the UK greenhouse gas emissions and is 15% of the total electricity consumption. Big figures there. So it shows that we really need to decarbonize the sector, that cooling is becoming more and more important, especially with climate change, rising temperatures. It's clear cooling is critical infrastructure. So we need to put all our efforts into decarbonizing the sector.
And what do you think that's going to mean for the installer in the UK? Because people may say, well, it's fine for researchers or governments to have to know the numbers and to report them in an international community. We all know that global warming is a really critical issue for everyone in their life. But when it comes down to being somebody who is having to sell equipment or design equipment to a customer spec, what are the discussions at COP and the research you're doing? How is that going to impact them?
So it's a lot about designing for higher ambient temperatures, I would say. But for the installers, is really selecting the most efficient equipment. You really need first to measure what you have, because otherwise, how do you know how it's performing? So again, that is critical. That's the first step in improving efficiency, is to have a snapshot of what you have. So carrying regular audits to find out, measure energy, it is critical, because we know that doesn't happen in all the sectors that require cooling. So that's the first step, is measure. And then you can implement changes that can improve efficiency. So it's a stepped approach, I would say.
Yeah, and just building upon that, one of the commitments from the Global Cooling Pledge is to develop some form of plan, a cooling plan for the UK. We're committed to this. We will need to work with the Institute and other partners to have input to this. The key output from the COP will be over the next year, development of perhaps a cooling outlook document, which will signpost the important things that we need to do in the future. But there are other aspects that will come from this as well. So the use of more efficient air conditioners is one of the commitments from the pledge. Sign up to Kigali. The UK already signs to Kigali, but some other countries haven't. And it was great this year that the UAE signed. The use of passive cooling as well is something that's within the pledge. And we in the UK launched Part O of the building regs recently. And this was about minimising overheating. It's got to be a critical part of what we do. We've got to minimise the need for cooling as the first step. And that will be a core part of our future strategy.
It's worth watching on YouTube, I think it is, the launch of the Cooling Pledge. UK Minister was there as well, talking about the UK commitment. One of the most interesting bits of it that I saw was when someone asked about accountability. Lily, who's been running that for the Cool Coalition, was very clear that each member state who signs up is going to be held accountable. They're going to have to set targets and they're going to have to deliver and to report on those. So we often hear in the industry that people want to select the best equipment, but they're prevented from doing that because of price, because of all sorts of other things. Do you think that you're learning a lot from the other countries, having to have that national peer pressure from other countries for the UK to really deliver on these things? What's the feel of what's going on at COP? How important is it?
I would say learning from others is vitally important and a key component of trying to move forward on this issue, both in terms of what you were saying, but also a conversation that we were actually just having moments ago around learning from each other was around how we're going to have to learn from other countries. So we're all experiencing a different climate, different weather patterns to what we're used to. So us being able to learn from countries who have in the past experienced the type of weather that we're going to be experiencing in the future, there's a really good opportunity there. Also, learning from the past in terms of, you know, before we had air conditioning, passive cooling measures, as Graham has already mentioned, that was a staple in a lot of cultures. And being able to learn from that is, I think, really key. So that's one of that's been one of the real benefits of COP, is learning more about what other people are doing as well and where that might be able to be used. So it gives us all an opportunity to learn best practices and, you know, lessons learned. What didn't work is also really important as well.
Yeah, I think a really important dimension about working with others is actually for our minister to be seen very visibly in this space. Traditionally, we're a temperate climate and cooling of people's homes and offices often isn't done. But the fact that our minister is here and talking about it and actually being singled out as the UK being a leader in this topic shows our commitment to this. And he can see the momentum that's building behind what we're doing in the UK. And that will only help us in the future in terms of policy focus, in terms of innovation focus, et cetera, et cetera. So it's good for us to be visible amongst others as well.
Katerina, how do you feel the project that you're presenting, how was that received as a UK initiative by the international, the global group that you had there?
I think it was well received. Initially, they presented the results worldwide, and actually the figures worldwide are higher, but 15% of energy used for cooling is quite significant in itself without needing for comparing with anyone else. So it was well received. I mean, we had a lot of people in the room. So it tells you, you know, a lot of people are working on this space. And this is now named the Cool COP.
Well, you've been there a week. Maybe you're coming towards the end. Do you think as a Cool COP, has it been successful?
Just the signing of the cooling pledge, it really is a major step forward, because every single country will have to report and develop a national strategy. So that will take things forward, makes a difference. That means effort, funding, research is going to be put into cooling, which might not have happened before. So it's a major step forward.
And do you think if the spotlight's going to be on the cooling industry in future, which seems to be the case, do you think we're up to the challenge?
More and more companies are looking into sustainability. More companies are looking at their emissions being direct, indirect, even scope 3. So there was one presentation that looked at sustainability policies in the industry in 2021 and 2023. And there is a big difference on the number of companies that are engaged in doing something just in the last 2 years. So it shows that there is momentum building for cooling.
So quite optimistic. Graham, do you think success?
I've been fortunate enough to come to 3 COPs now. And last year was where the Global Cooling Pledge was conceptualized. But there were very, very few events on cooling at last year's COP. And you can see this year, we've been to probably 30 events with different focus on cooling, from cold chain to vaccines to district cooling to measuring emissions to policy changes. It really, really gathering momentum. It must only continue to do so. That's the important thing. And the pledge will enable that to happen, because one of the commitments of the pledge is to, and you mentioned it just earlier, make sure we report on our progress at COP. And we've agreed to have a high-level meeting at every COP with ministers and our senior civil servants reviewing the progress on the pledge. So, yeah, it's only going to continue to grow with momentum.
And you think that's because of different countries really experiencing those challenging extreme events, or is it just a momentum on where else can we go to get the CO2 emissions we need? You know, that 1.5 degrees is such a challenge.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's probably a number of things, but obviously extreme heat and the events will continue to happen, and they're very high profile. But I think as you try to identify the emissions, you've got to work on the hard to abate area. And cooling is a hard to abate area. It covers many, many sectors. And you know, there's not just one switch that you can to solve the cooling emissions. And therefore, as we try and drive our emissions down, we have to focus on those today.
And when you say, you know, cooling is difficult, it's always been a case that it's difficult because it works reliable. It works in the background. People take it for granted. They don't really know what's going on. So when you try to abate it, it's difficult. It's not difficult to do in many ways, but it requires a bit of thought and investment and a change of mindset. Rachel, your thoughts on the successes?
Yeah, definitely. I would really echo what my colleagues have already said, you know, the Global Cooling Pledge in terms of kind of top-down leadership from the top in terms of what needs to happen. But also, I think there's a lot of leadership and momentum from the bottom up. We've heard a lot about communities demanding more access to cooling, the right to cooling, but also that this cooling is efficient and low emissions, more interesting passive cooling from communities. So I think communities are driving this from the bottom up, and there's enough demand that I think that's also going to help in terms of galvanizing industry. And just referencing as well the study that we just saw, a presentation from Carbon Trust that Kat mentioned around, I hope I'm quoting their numbers correctly, but to me they were quite impressive. When they ran this in 2021 at COP26, it was 80% of the cooling industry stakeholders they surveyed hadn't been considering sustainability in their cooling practices. But at this, just in the lead up to this COP, that it's reversed, 80% are considering it. So I thought that, you know, to me that statistic says a lot, combined with the demand from top down and bottom up to make the sense.
Yeah, that's a really valuable insight, because so often with COP we really think of everything being as politicians working their way down and setting policy levels, but to see that it's coming up from other developing countries and about the right to cooling and the right to efficient cooling is a totally different perspective. A couple of final points then. So for each of you, what's the most interesting thing you learned you didn't know, or just that you come back to the UK and think, wow, that was worth going just to find that out?
Okay, the biggest thing that I will take away is this venue is really, really fantastic, and we can learn a lot from the UAE. Walking around, they've got so many passive measures all over the place. We are going to head towards a warming world. We've got to learn from them. And architecturally, it's beautiful as well. There's some really interesting shading all over the place. A lot of the buildings, the one we've just come in, the UK Pavilion, it hasn't got mechanical cooling. It's passive. For me, that was the biggest thing, is what we can learn from others here.
Funnily enough, I was going to say the same for my last answer to your previous question, just around communities. So I've heard so much from different communities about how they're driving change within their local area for cooling, whether that's urban greening projects, gardens, and not just for cooling as well. You know, there are a few other things, I guess, that are being discussed at COP, even if cooling is near and dear to our hearts, but just the amazing work that a lot of communities are doing to change their environment has really impressed me. And I think going forward, working closely with communities to leverage the work that they're doing and also uniting communities so that we can all learn from each other is a really key message for me.
So now it's difficult because Graham mentioned buildings, Rachel mentioned communities, and I think those are the main ones. It was great to hear so many voices, hear what young people have to say, hear what tribes from the Amazon have to say. You know, this is a strange place where all people come together to discuss the solutions. And maybe that's the key, the solutions. That's where we need to spend the time discussing, and maybe asking the questions in a different way can spark innovation. So I was at a presentation from a large corporation. They were saying, we've been working on energy efficiency and sustainability for 20 years. We're already doing it very well. But then they start asking, oh, but are we doing any harm? And just by framing the conversation in a different way, it sparked loads of new ideas. I think that's what we need to do to get innovation, to ask questions in a different way.
Thank you. Again, really insightful comments from everybody. Thank you all for telling us just really what's happening on the ground there in Dubai. And I'm hoping you're going to bring some of that enthusiasm back to share with us in the UK. So thanks very much. Enjoy the rest of your cool COP and safe travels back. Thank you.
Tip of the iceberg from the Institute of Refrigeration, and I'm Miriam Rodway. We hope you're enjoying our podcasts. Please like and share and follow the podcast and join us on the next edition. Thank you.